This is an interview with Joe Zaragoza for the California State College Bakersfield California Odyssey Project by Stacy Jagels at the Science and Engineering Building at Bakersfield College on February 5th, 1981 at 10 a.m.
Question.
Sure.
Okay. First I'll ask you about your own background, about where you were born and your family and how you came to live in Arvin.
Okay. My parents came out from Mexico as migrants. And they first settled in Whittier for a while, and then they came out to the San Joaquin Valley. This was 1924, something like that. And I was born in 1934 in Bakersfield at what is now Kern Medical Center, which is, you know, Kern General Hospital at the time. And we lived on a ranch in Arvin, between Arvin and St. Cent Camp. And my father was a sort of foreman or the ranch hand. We had a house there. And it was a 48-acre ranch. And he worked as, you know, just managed the place. And I was raised with some older sisters that were previous to me. They had, like, my sister Margaret or older ones. And this ranch was, where we had to go to Vinon School and Sunset School. And this was mostly people that were the migrants that were out here, that lived in the camps or out in the streets or, you know, under trees picking cotton and stuff like that. And some of the students, few were from the ranch, people that owned the ranches. Some of the kids, you know, that were raised, and most of those had settled a little before this. I don't know if some of them are from Oklahoma or not, but they were the, I'd say, the little richer type. And there were very few of the store owners, people like that. But the majority of the people were the field workers, the students. That's what I was raised with out there.
Could you tell me a little bit more about your family? Say how many brothers and sisters you had, and how well off your family was, whether you were very poor or
okay.
If you thought you were pretty well off.
Okay. At the time they were at the ranch, I had five sisters, and I was the youngest. And at that time, my parents never have been on welfare or anything like that, even until now. He always had a job. My older sisters, my older three sisters, they couldn't really afford to keep them. So they shipped them to San Francisco to an uncle. And so they were raised up there on their own after their, I think about age of 14 to 18. Then that left my two other sisters and myself at the house. And my father got the very minimum wage, you know, which was, 75 cents a day at the while, up to $2.50 a day, something like that. And we were comfortable in the house because the ranch furnished my father a house. We didn't have to pay rent or utilities. But he did run the ranch for the people that we lived there for. And we seemed to always have good food because we drove to Arvin every Saturday. I can remember that. Every Saturday we'd go get our sack of beans or our flour and our staples. But we raised most of our own crops at the ranch. And when it came to eating, always had food on the table. And my dad worked 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. Or whatever, and we went to Vinon School there, my sister and I, and we seemed to get along pretty well with everybody.
Because your parents were from Mexico, did they have any problem with the language that made them feel isolated in the community?
Yes, they felt kind of that way. My father spoke better English than my mother, even till now. My mother still doesn't speak good English. My father speaks pretty well English, but he got along enough. But socially, we didn't visit all the, I guess we did. We'd visit some of the migrant families sometimes, you know, people that came by and worked on the ranch, and we'd go have a barbecue or, you know, a picnic or something. But socially, we went to other Mexican people's houses, like in Arvin or one or two families only, not often. But mostly we played, my sister and I were making, we played with the boss's kids and the kids which lived around there, which were ranch hand people or people like us lived on another ranch. Socially, my parents really weren't too socially. They didn't go around too much. Just very little trip to town, maybe twice a year, maybe, to Bakersfield.
Mm-hmm. And could you tell me a little bit about growing up in Arvin? You said you were just about the only Mexican family
to Sunset. We were far enough away in our district that we weren't right in Arvin. Arvin had a few Mexicans, and Lamont did too. We were kind of in between Lamont and Arvin. So at that time, Lamont had very few families, maybe 24 Mexican families, and the rest were all, you know, Caucasian or whatever. And Arvin had very few Mexicans at the time and scattered to the ranches, but our district, where we lived, it was because of Vine and Sunset were so close, that made my sister and myself the only two Mexicans at that time going to the school. And we're one black family at that time. The most were all migrant Caucasians.
Mm-hmm. So as a child, you played with a lot of the migrant workers.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
Do you remember very much about their situation, about their homes? Did they live, were they a lot worse off than, say, your family was?
Yes, I think so. Actually, the people that live at different ranches, most of them had odd houses. I can remember we did, even though the boss had a beautiful home and he had, you know, indoor plumbing, we didn't. And we had a nice home, though. But some of the other people that live on ranches like we did had similar like we did, the white people. But at these other homes like the government camp, they didn't have that much. You know, they had furnished by the government. They had their place to stay and a store to go to and their central laundry and central bathroom system. But that didn't seem to really, you know, be in my mind at the time.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember going to the government camp, Sunset Labor
Camp? Oh, yeah. We visited friends there once in a while. My parents went every once in a while. Yes. Yes. Not often, but we would go there. We played with people there. Parents would visit somebody that they knew or they'd have us over. But we played, we played mostly at the ranch because the boss had two children. And the people surrounding ranches would come around and we would play. And a few of the migrants would come around, but not too often.
Mm-hmm.
On that.
Mm-hmm. How about the ditch camps? Do you remember ever seeing those?
Definitely, yes. We would go going to Arvin or going on the school bus. We would catch a bus, and we could see the. What do you mean by the ditch people? The people that lived in the underneath the trees.
You
and
say underneath the trees? Or
yes.
Underneath the bridge.
Yeah, I can remember living out of cars under trees. I can remember them doing the laundry and stuff in the canals, bathe themselves, and I can definitely remember along the roads towards Arvin, along the side of the road, that people always camped out all over the, out in the desert. But I can remember definitely they had the little, overloaded cars of junk all over them, and the kids, and that was it. That was their, they would go out and work in the fields and go back and cook there and sleep, and eventually, they got moved into the government camp or eventually into places like Weed Patch or the surrounding areas. But I can remember definitely the mm-hmm. cotton pickers and all, because I picked cotton with them at the time.
Mm-hmm. Where, did you know very many other Mexican families that lived that way?
Mostly the Okies. The Mexican families, we didn't know too many that way at that time. Most of those were out in places like DiGiorgio that had a camp already to furnish them houses, and they worked there, or some of the bigger ranches furnished them houses. And few of the, that was mostly at they were furnished houses as the majority of them, because I think they were hired more as permanent type of fixtures for the ranches at the time.
How about in school? When you went to school with them, do you have any recollections of, or any special experiences or things that happened in school?
Well, in school, I went because I wanted to learn at the time. I never did feel like a Mexican, really, you know, even though I was, but I felt like, you know, I was part of it. I always thought that even though they were migrants, whether they were or not, I didn't know whether they really were or not, some. But I felt always a little below them slightly in education, that I couldn't learn as fast as they could because some were a little sharper as a rule. some of the migrants, but there were some sharp ones. And then also some of the, mostly the ranch hand kids. They seemed to have a little more on the ball. And, but we went, we got along with it. I made good grades with them. And as far as attendance and stuff like that, they, there was quite a few that didn't go to school because they had a big cotton and stuff like that. I can remember that. And discipline was pretty good. We had very few troublemakers at the time, very few. And they all seemed to want to learn also. But I can remember some of my shoes and stuff myself had holes in them, or my pants, or, you know, hand-me-downs or whatever. I've always felt like I was slightly about like some of the migrants, because a lot of them came that way. But as a rule, they were pretty well dressed, not bad. Mm-hmm. And in the schools were very good. I mean, they taught, you know, they were equal to everybody, whether they were migrants or the ranch hand kids. Or, but I kind of ran around with the upper class, as you would call them, the ranch hand people and stuff like that, and some of the higher class migrant families, some that had more discipline and weren't the troublemakers really, which weren't too many. But the ones that wanted to learn, like, you know, being kind of a upper grouper type.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever remember any problems with the, say, the ranch hand kids or kids that were born in California and their families were from California versus the Okies? Do you ever remember any fights or squabbles?
Not because of that. No, no. The only problems was, there was a little bit of a problem that people like Woods Dishon there had a kind of a camp of different homes. Those type of people owned their homes. They were migrants also, a type of people had come out. And then people from the Weed Patch camp, I can remember a couple of toughies that, I don't think there was any problem between the, because of where they were from or anything. It was just their attitude or Mr. Bully, which weren't too, there weren't too many of them. But the fights, it was, the, I can't remember any prejudice or any kind of wanting, you know, different gangs against other people. You got to just stay away from the bad people, the you know, kind of the bullies.
How about when you heard adults talking? Do you remember hearing anything about adults?
No.
That didn't like Okies or
no.
Discriminated against
no.
them?
No, no, no. I didn't hear any of that, no. No.
These kids that went to the Sunset School, can you remember any particular characteristics that made you know they were migrant or Okies? Perhaps the way they dressed or the way they talked?
Not really. Yeah. Not really. You could tell. And you just accepted that they were people going to school and that they didn't have a ranch to live on, and they were less, well, I can't say less, they were, you could tell the difference, yeah, I suppose in the clothes, and compared to the people who had a little more money, like the ranch people's kids, were the better to-do people around, but as a rule, there wasn't that much difference in their clothes-wise, and their discipline, they were all one to learn, I believe. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear any of the children or the adults talk about why they came from Oklahoma out to California?
Yes, yes. To come out because of the work, for one thing, the wages, and there was always work for them. But they wanted to, I mean, a lot of them traveled, you know, followed the fields. But mm-hmm. But there was work at least 6 months out of the year for them. And I can remember some of the kids in school would, you know, go back for the winter and come out, and would come out. I can remember that, some of the families, that it would, you know, migrate from, you know, Texas, say, out to Arizona, to Imperial Valley, to San Joaquin Valley, and then go up north. We get some of those coming through, but as a rule, some would come out and stay about 6-7 months and go back and come back out. But the majority would stay. And they came out because of the work. There was a lot of field work. at the time, picking cotton, chopping cotton, picking grapes, and working around the sheds and whatever.
Mm-hmm. For the kids that had to, say, stay out of school to pick the last of the cotton or something like that, was it difficult for them to get back into school and catch up on their work?
No, it didn't seem to be difficult. They kind of accepted and realized that the students would do that, and the kids would get by. The sharper ones, well, a few of the sharper ones would do okay, but some of the ones that were kept out a while kind of got behind. They'd seem to catch up. They'd seem to do okay, not too bad. There wasn't too much of that, although, it was scattered. It happened, I can remember. And I can remember at the violin school during the World War, they would bring to the classes things like peas and stuff like that. We'd have 2 hours a day where we would have to help the farmers, not the farmers, but they would pick and bring to us, and we would shell them and stuff like that for the armed forces and stuff. And the migrant workers, and we all worked together. Never doing that.
Did you ever hear much about the nature of the farm work? You were just a little boy then, but did you ever hear about how long they worked in the fields, what their average work day was like, or how much they were paid for what they did?
The salary, it's hard for me to ring a bell, but it was very little at the time. I can remember picking cotton, like, you'd get, 75 cents for, at the beginning, for, say, 100 pounds or something like that, and eventually it went up a little bit. You'd have to work your tail off to make $5-6 a day. And some of the better people that really worked hard would make maybe 15-20 bucks, but the whole family would go out there, and it was like, okay, like picking potatoes, I can remember that. They'd have machines at the time, and you would have to have a space if the whole family would go out there. And I only did it 2 days because I couldn't handle it that much, and I was quite young, but the older people would do it. You see the poor kids out there working their tails off, but they would get something like 3 cents or 9 cents, what they call a stub, and they'd pick so many stubs a day, and they were lucky to make, $6 at the top of day working the tails off, say 12 hours. And that was some of the better workers. And like chopping cotton, you'd get maybe so much a row, which would take you maybe half an hour to an hour to do, and maybe get 13 cents or something like that to do it. Or no less than that. I think it'd take you a couple hours to do that. I don't remember. It was bad. The salary was real bad. Very, very minimal.
Mm-hmm. And you say sometimes the whole family would be out there working.
Yes, as a rule. Yes, 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 definitely. That would be chopping cotton, picking cotton, and picking potatoes. Those three things. I can definitely remember the whole families would be out there. And this is during the summer, weekends. And I never did go during school time, but during the weekends. But I know some of the kids would go out there with their parents during the school time and work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. During the off season, say in the rainy winters when there was no work to do for the Okies, do you remember what they did? Whether they just hung around town or?
All I can remember is they would hang around the government camp. I can remember that. During the weather, you're talking about bad weather?
Uh-huh.
They would hang around, and very few people would be running around to town. They really couldn't afford it. Saturday night was a big night at Arvin, though. I can remember that. And that was when everybody would go shopping. But whether it rained or not, I can't remember really about the weather when it was bad. I mean, they
tried
to work.
Yeah, I just mean in the off-season.
Off-season?
When there's just no work to do.
No work to do? I think they were getting supplement from the government, if I remember right, some kind of welfare or help or something like that. I don't know what kind of subsidies or something. But they would just hang around the camps, and that's all I can remember about that.
Do you remember, did very many take government aid?
Yeah, I think quite a few during the winter that did stay around took quite a bit. Yes, a lot of them were getting aid, definitely. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear much about that from either them or other people? Some people accuse the Okies of coming out here just to go on welfare.
No, I didn't hear about this. I heard about it later in life when I was probably a teenager, but other than that, no. No, but I have heard of that, yes.
A lot of people also think that many Okies are very proud and they would do anything not to go on welfare. Did you find that they were mostly very proud people?
Very
didn't want to do this?
No, very few. I think most of them wanted to. That I can remember, yeah. Not that they couldn't, but they had to, because, you know, whether it was starved or whatever. But they were pretty good workers.
Mm-hmm. How about health problems? I've been told that the Okies seem to have a lot more disease and health problems than other groups. Do you ever remember being out of school?
Well, things. No, not really. Colds, chicken pox, and runny noses come to school, and barefoot. Other than that, no, not really.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember much about what they did in their spare time, say for entertainment, say a Saturday night or something like that?
Well, yeah, there was a movie that most of them would attend at Arvin. And that was a going thing at the time because there was no TV. The kids would go out and play ball usually in the, towards the evening, and most of them would just sit around, government camp type. They would sit around the camp there, and I can't remember too much drinking, but I can remember some played guitars and listened to the radio, and it was so hot as a rule they would sit outside at the time. But the entertainment, that's as far as I know.
You said they moved around quite a lot following the cross.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know how many families, but I can remember some would come through. You know, they'd come in, school would be started, and there would always be some coming in, and some would be leaving. I can remember that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them did follow the crops at the time. And they still did up till not too long ago. But mm-hmm. they would come in and stay at the government camp or whatever, or at a ranch, and then stay for a couple of months and go on. Mm-hmm. But the kids would attend school, though, at that time. But those kids, when they could tell them, they attended four or five different schools a year sometimes. But they did try to keep them in school, mm-hmm. trying to better them.
Do you remember hearing much about the way the growers or the ranchers treated the Okies they hired? Whether they treated them fairly or perhaps
I think
to cheat them?
No, I don't think they tried to cheat them, because these people, they were kind of stubborn. And the wages was paying, and the harder you worked, the more you would get. Sometimes they get a little bit of a bonus, but as far as I know, I think they treated them pretty fair, what I could see. I mean, they went out and picked cotton, and there was the scale, and they wouldn't cheat them, and they paid them cash, and mm-hmm. and there wasn't really too much of a hassle that way, I don't think, mm-hmm. what I could personally see.
Mm-hmm. How about with the Mexican farm workers? Did they ever have any problems with the way they were treated by their employers?
No, they got equal treatment, about the same, mm-hmm. I could see.
And did the Mexicans and whites work together in the fields?
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, some would go out there. Yeah, mm-hmm. yes, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Right, but mostly the whites would be out there doing that. There would be no problem, not too much that I could see. Mm-hmm. But I can't remember that many out there.
How about black workers?
Very few at the time, no. I don't remember of any hardly. No.
Okay. At that time, say in the late 30s and early 40s, do you remember hearing anything about unions, attempt to unionize the workers?
No. No, but I can remember people striking for wages, a little higher wages. I can remember that. They would strike fields and stuff.
Do you remember any specific incidents?
They would have a few clashes at the time, yes. Yes. There would be people trying to get through, and people didn't want them going through. I can remember carrying signs and people who really needed the money and tried to work, there'd be a few clashes, yes.
That was right there in Arvin?
Yeah, but, you know, Arvin and all the areas between, you know, Sunset and Arvin, all that farming area out there. Yes, there'd be a few clashes.
Was your father ever involved in any of that?
No, because he was at the ranch all the time. He was kind of the manager at the ranch. We had people come in and work there. And he was kind of the foreman. No, he never was involved.
Was it very violent? Do you remember hearing of fights or anyone being hurt?
Oh, once in a while, yes. Somebody would get hurt once in a while, yes. Mm-hmm. But the worst hurts would probably be the Arvin and the beef, what they call pachucos at the time. Like lowrider type of people, but they were different at that time. And they you stayed away from them, and they carried the knives and the zoot suits and whatever. And those gangs and the whites once in a while would get into it, but they kind of, the whites with Okies and those would kind of stay away from them. Every once in a while, there'd be a little class, a gang fight type. But there was some of that. But we were always scared, and we stayed away from them. But that was mostly Saturday night type of deal.
I mean, the places in town, say churches or stores, and the places where Okies would have to go in to get supplies or whatever, do you remember any hostility towards them? Did they have any problems when they tried to go into town?
No, not in the Arvin area, no. No. Mm-hmm. A lot of them had credit. Excuse me. Try to get credit. You know, if they knew whether the ranch they worked for or something, they'd give them credit. But as a rule, I can't. They were able to go in and buy pretty easy. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
How about Bakersfield? Did you get to Bakersfield very often?
Not
so
too often.
Know how they were?
No, I got to Bakersfield at that time maybe once or twice a year, maybe. But mostly it was the neighbor of Arvin. That was the main place for us.
When World War II came, did the situation change for many of the Okies that you knew?
I can't remember. The only thing I can remember is we used to have the air raids out there, and like our boss, he was one of the area's, what would you call it, self-defense monitors. He would have to go around and make sure everybody's lights were out and this and that, and they kind of, and I don't know how many they have at the government camp, Sunset Camp, they would, they'd have to shut the lights and... And other than that, and then at school we would have air raid raid sirens, and we'd have to get underneath the, just in case we got bombed. I can remember we would all have to go underneath the desks and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And other than that, no, nothing else changed. But I can definitely remember the air raids. That was spooky, very spooky. Yeah. And all.
How about the number of field workers that were Okies? Did that change? I've heard that a lot of the Okies went in. Worked in the defense industry, say in Los Angeles,
yes,
San Francisco.
Yes, a lot of them started leaving since the jobs opened up. Yes, better paying jobs. Yes, a lot of them went into the, yes, a lot of women also, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Were there very many left that still worked in the fields then?
Oh, yeah. There was enough. Well, wait a minute, I'm trying to remember.
I'm thinking of Okies right now.
Yeah, I think quite a few left. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Did more Mexicans come in then?
Yeah, Mexicans started coming in about that time, right about the war, a little after, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did the economic situation get any better for your family when the war started?
I can remember coupons, rationing. They would give us ration for so much gas, so much sugar, and whatever, and what used to make us mad was the German prisoners that they would bring to pick cotton. Oh yeah, that's right. Now that you mentioned it, the Okies did leave, and they needed, and the farmers couldn't get the cotton picked, so they brought in the Germans to German camp, which was at the Revere camp, out on Revere Road, and they would take two or three trucks of these Germans out there with that one armed guard, and which we had one here at the college that works, by the way. That did that. He was one of the armed guards. And I can remember they would have to pick cotton. But what really was griping was you'd go and they'd have a truck of food. They had cigarettes, chocolate, abundance for those guys, where the other people couldn't get them in the stores at the time. But they were well supplied with them, the prisoners. That I can remember definitely.
I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the Germans.
The prisoners of war, yes.
Prisoners of war. If you remember what years that was in,
That was later part of the war, yes.
And I guess they just shipped them over?
They had a prison camp there, Rebir camp they called it. And I don't know how many hundreds they had there, but it was pretty big. But they would take these Germans out because there were less people working in the fields. They needed help because a lot of the Okies or whatever did go to industry, and the farmers couldn't get the cotton picked, so they had these guys go out. And they would do different, mostly pick cotton, if I remember right. But they were just World War prisoners. And I can definitely remember, they used to work for the ranch that my father had, or was forming up.
Was this publicized very much, or did you just happen to know that they were German prisoners?
Well, it was obvious they were in uniform prison uniforms. They were in army camps. They got in the one guard with a helmet and the rifle, the guard. And you could see them all over the fields at different places. They'd move them around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know what happened to them after?
Most of them went back to Germany, as a rule. I think most of them were shipped back. Right after the war.
Were you afraid of them?
Not really. But I thought, well, no, couldn't say that. No, but we're pretty well guarded at the prison. And they were nice. I mean, they were friendly, mm-hmm. and a couple spoke English, and they were real nice. And they looked just like regular people, except they were in uniform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were there very many of them?
Quite a few, yes. They were taking different fields and working with quite a few at that prison. I don't know how many, but there was a lot. Mm-hmm. They were well fed. I can remember that. Mm-hmm. I can remember my dad and everybody saying, you know, we can't buy chocolate, we can't buy cigarettes, we're rationed and they can have all they want. And that's definitely, I remember that. People complained about that.
To get back to the Okies, I wondered if you could tell me a little bit about your impressions, both when you were a child and then now as an adult. A lot of people think of Okies as very ignorant, low down, people without morals. Do you remember people thinking that way when you were a child?
Vaguely, but at the time, like I said, I felt a little below them at the time. But at the time, I didn't realize I was actually better off than those kids because I was a Mexican. Mm-hmm. But even though I felt that, I didn't feel that way because, you know, because I was my sister and one of the two. But later in life, such as now, I look back and you can still find a few of the ignorant ones. We call them kind of ignorant at that time, but they're kind of prejudiced type. They're very prejudiced. And I didn't realize this at the time. I've never known prejudice. Until I actually married one and found out, and then I found out her parents were so prejudiced that they didn't want us to get married. But now they found out that they thought I was so low class or this and that, but they found out that I'm not a low class Mexican. But that really bothered me, that there was still, you'll find this still in Oildale, where a lot of the Okies have settled down to that kind of a deal. And you'll find that. But I didn't realize this until later life. Mm-hmm. This was actually going on. At that time, I didn't notice. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem to...
At the time, perhaps you didn't realize it then, but looking back, do you think the Okies had a rougher time of it, or do the Mexicans?
At that time, it depended. It depended if they got on a ranch, they did well. I think they did a little better than the Mexicans. But if the people out of the migrant camps... And the Mexicans who lived at the, say, the Georgia camp were a little better off than people that lived at the migrant camp. But the white people that lived on ranches had it a little better than the Mexican people. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't see...
Did you and your family encounter much prejudice when you came here? Do you remember?
I can't remember that. No. Not, none at all. No. None whatsoever. No, we my sister and I were taken up with the White Ranch kids and the better class of Okies or whatever, and no problem at all, not one bit. Never was, no names were called or nothing, never. Mm-hmm. No, at that time, that didn't start until probably later life in high school.
Mm-hmm. How about the term Okie? That has a very negative connotation. Did it then? Did you call them Okies then?
No, you were kind of afraid to call them that at the time, I think. That wasn't brought up too much. You could hear about the Okies and the lower class, and some were scum because they came out here and didn't have nothing, but they were trying. But I can remember the Okies slang once in a while, but not that often, no. But a lot of them who broadened their minds and settled down and worked hard seemed to have pulled themselves up from that. By what I mean is they were out here to better themselves. That's why they come out, actually.
And do you think very many of them did eventually do that?
Yes, yes. Quite a few. Yes, definitely. They did well. Thanks to good schooling and the jobs. And from there they pulled themselves out. At that time there wasn't that many programs, especially to help people. I mean, you came up on your own, and to get a scholarship, you earned it. You weren't given one and all this money and whatever like they do now. So these people who did try had it made. They had equal like anybody else. And they did fine, the ones that I know.
Mm-hmm. Did you know very many that really did well and became very successful?
Yes, like this Bill Johnson told me about. And I can't name them all, but quite a few, yes. A lot of them become ranchers and have made it, yes.
And do you know some that are still very poor and really haven't done much for themselves?
Yes.
Perhaps parts of the town of Arvin.
Yeah, Weed Patch. There's still a few, very few of the older people left that just kind of are still on welfare and didn't bring themselves up. But the kids seem to have done better. Yes, there's still very few around.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned when we were talking about government aid that a lot of them took welfare, and you said they wanted to.
Well, they kind of had to. I mean, they were kind of open-handed. They needed the help because the wages were so bad. They were furnished houses that maybe they had to pay it a little bit, but they had a special store there and given, I guess at that time, food stamps. I don't know, something like that. But they were helped if they needed help. Yes, there was aid for them. That's where it actually really started, I think. But as a rule, they wanted to work, and they worked. Oh, there were a few lazy ones once in a while, of course, that wanted to just help, but that's than anything. But they all seemed to want to better themselves, and they were trying, because they knew the schools were free out here, and I mean, like anywhere else, and or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also wanted to ask you, since you've known these people from the time you were a child, you probably know a lot of people from the Dust Bowl area even now.
Yes.
Do you think that very many of them have suffered or perhaps have scars because of the experience they went through?
I think they have overgrown that. I think they look back and they take it as war scars. I talked to some of these people that have made it but they seem to hide it behind them. They remember it. They're thankful that they have pulled themselves up to what they have now. I really feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to be doing pretty well. A lot of them are doing well right now, very well. And to talk to them, like you talk about scars, I know. They look back, they have gone through it, and they help the kids more now. They realize, things are better now, and they've made it. I mean, I can remember like this Bill Johnson. He was they came from a religious place. They lived in Weed Patch, a little nothing, and where they rented or probably rented, I don't think they owned it. He started as a box boy in one of the supermarkets, and he was fair in school, and now he's a big shot and doing beautiful. And I've talked to him before, and he just kind of ha ha that, they look back and it's part of life. But they seem not to be hurt by it, no. But they think about it, sure, but they appreciate what they have now. I do the same thing. I appreciate that. But I look back now and realize that I was better off than the majority of those kids and didn't realize it because I was Mexican. And I thought they were always a little better. But now I look back, and I was just as good, if not better, than the majority. And I feel that that was good in a way because I appreciate it. Now, I really do. Because I've been a farm type of Mexican migrant type of guy that settled down on a ranch and bringing myself up, I feel like I did pretty good, pretty fair. And I kind of look back and kind of like that life at the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did it ever upset you or cause you to stop and think when you heard people talking badly about the Okies? Did that make you angry because you knew that these were basically very hardworking and good people?
No, that didn't bother me because I was out there picking cotton stuff with them, even though we had it a little better off at the time, which I didn't realize I was better off than them, so that didn't bother me. And there wasn't that much bad talk. There was some bad talk here and there, but as a rule, no. No, that didn't bother me at all. No.
Okay.